WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. Yes, 1 o'clock has rolled around once again. It's a new month. Can you believe that? Hope you all had a fantastic Halloween. I know many of you are probably eating candy as we speak. Watch out for the cavities, all right? Watch out for the cavities. But yes, it's November 1st, 2013 on the eve. Yes, the eve of the Michigan and Michigan State football rivalry game. 3:30 p.m. tomorrow. The Spartans and Wolverines will get it on. And throughout today's show, we'll be taking your calls on how this one will exactly turn out. Call 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And shoot us a score prediction. We are also taking your calls on Megatron, and who many consider to be the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Calvin Johnson, and the discussion of Jerry Rice. Who would you take, Megatron or Jerry Rice? Yes, who's the better receiver? And if you think Jerry, do you think that Megatron will eclipse the great one after his career is said and done? Yes, that's our current sports question of the day. Call us in at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even shoot me a tweet. That's right, tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, let's dive right into the show. Here are your current sports headlines on this November 1st, 2013. All right, MSU is ranked number 2 nationally in the AP poll, trailing number 1 ranked Kentucky. For Kentucky, it's the first time since the 1995-1996 season when they won the national championship. Yes, Kentucky beat out Michigan State from a 65-member panel. Now, the Wildcats received 27 first-place votes and 1,546 points, and the Spartans, who returned 4 starters, snagged 22 first-place votes and 1,543 points. That's eerily close as far as the points go. Now, Kentucky and Michigan State will meet on November 12th at the State Farm Champions Classic in Chicago. Tom Izzo told AP, quote, "A 1-2 matchup is a win-win deal. If you win, you understand where you are and what you have as a team. If you lose, you've got time to figure out what you need to do to get better. I'm not sure, though, how kids and fans will react to winning or losing that game." Now, Kansas was 5th, followed by Arizona, Michigan. That rounds out your top 5. So the expectations are surely high. And I tell you what, for Kentucky, there's talks that they at least have 7. Yes, 7 first-round picks, potential first-round NBA draft picks after this season. So how about that? All right, Cliff Alexander, the consensus top 5 national recruit from Chicago, has become the latest blue-chip recruit to eliminate the Spartans, yes, Michigan State, from consideration. He told the Illini Playbook on Thursday that, quote, "Right now, no relationship. They're not on my list anymore." That's in regards to Michigan State. Now, Alexander's multi-year recruitment took twists and turns after he said in the summer he would not take an official visit to Michigan State so he could see other campuses after having come to East Lansing numerous times. Now, in recent weeks, he went from saying that he liked everything about Michigan State to considering an unofficial visit this weekend, to canceling all remaining visits. You see how you never know with kids what's going through their mind. One minute they want to go to the school, the next minute they're changing their mind and they're going somewhere else. You never know. That's why I hate recruiting folks. But anyway, Alexander told the Illini Playbook that coaches from Illinois, where he took an official visit this past weekend, they watched him practice earlier in the day. His other strong possibility for commitment appears to be Kansas, because his girlfriend attends school there. Gosh, I hate recruiting. You never know. Like I said, you never know what these kids are going to do. So many factors weigh in. You got your girl going to a school that you might want to go to. I mean, it's just so much. All right. Ryan Broyles, Detroit Lion wide receiver Ryan Broyles' season is officially over, folks. The Lions placed Broyles, their second-round pick out of Oklahoma last year, on season-ending injured reserve Thursday with a ruptured Achilles tendon he had in the 31-30 win over Dallas this past Sunday. To take Broyles' place, the Lions activated Montel Owens off short-term injured reserve. Now, Owens has not played since he suffered a knee injury on his second carry of the preseason in an August game against the New England Patriots. So, again, Detroit Lion right receiver Ryan Broyles' season is officially over. Man, it does not get – thank goodness the Detroit Lions have Megatron, because without Megatron, who knows where this Detroit Lions wide receiving core would go. Of course, Nate Burleson is another guy who, reached for the pizza. Now his arm's broke. I mean, man, that receiver core is definitely taking a hit, but you still got Megatron. And also, we're sparking a question to you all, our current sports question of the day. Who would you take, Calvin Johnson or Jerry Rice? Leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or give us a call here at the Current Sports Studio, 517-355-9527, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. We'll be diving into that conversation not too long from now as I invite Matt and Alice. We're going to really dive into it. We have some interesting opinions on it. All right, EL advances to Division II soccer state final. Yes, thanks to Trevor Easley's lone goal, the East Lansing boys soccer team beat St. Clair Shores. Lakeshore, 1-0 to advance to the Division II state finals. Now, for the Trojans and head coach Nick Archer, reaching the finals is nothing new for him. He said, quote, "Each one," talking about the state final team, "is special. I'm very fortunate to have a good group like this, and in the past we've had a number of good teams. But you know, this is their time. This is the team's time. This is their first time here. I've been there, and it's been exciting, and I'm just as excited about this one because they are all special times. They don't happen very often." So Archer and the Trojans won championships in 2002 and 2005, and will look for another against Spring Lake at noon on Saturday at Kentwood Crestwood Middle School. So good luck to East Lansing High School. That's certainly great news there. All right, Thursday night football, a sloppy Thursday night effort from the Cincinnati Bengals, ended in a 22-20 loss to the Miami Dolphins. How about that? Andy Dalton was sacked by Cameron Wake for a game-ending safety. Now, the Dolphins, on the wrong end of a four-game losing streak, they capitalized on four Cincy turnovers and a last-second field goal to send the game into overtime. Now, backed up by the, to their own 8-yard line, Dalton's drop back went right to the goal line where he was taken down by Wake. Wake said afterwards, "You just have to do whatever you can to get to the quarterback. It couldn't have come at a better time. How much better could it have been than to have a D lineman seal the deal?" That's very true there. All right, to add injury to insult, the Bengals lost star defensive tackle, yes, Geno Atkins, to an appearing ACL injury. The severity of the injury is still unknown. So how about the Dolphins? 22-20 over the Bengals. Didn't see that one coming. All right. 16 current and former NFL players have filed a lawsuit against a Florida-based bank that participated in the illegal opening of accounts and transferring of funds that resulted in the players losing, get this, $60 million. That's a lot of money, folks. Now, the group of players slash retirees includes Ray Lewis, Javon Kearse, Fred Taylor, and Frank Gore, among others. Now, the bank's ties lead to Jeff Rubin, a disgraced financial advisor who used to represent over 100 athletes, including those listed in the lawsuit. Now, while the lawsuit only covers the 16 players and $60 million, anonymous sources hint that it's just the tip of the iceberg, and that the damage could be more widespread and closer to the $100 million mark. This is huge, folks. Now, Rubin formerly ran a concierge financial services firm called Pro Sports Financial and invested over $43 million in a failed casino project. So, again, 16 current and former NFL players filed a lawsuit against a Florida-based bank that participated in the illegal opening of accounts and transferring of funds that resulted and players losing $60 million. It could be upwards of up to $100 million. Unbelievable stuff there. All right, Colorado Avalanche goalie Semyon Varlamov, his girlfriend makes detail of a domestic abuse allegation in documents released on Thursday. Now, Varlamov, he appeared in a Denver court Thursday facing charges of second-degree kidnapping and third-degree assault related to this incident. Now, he bonded out of jail Thursday after his court appearance. His girlfriend says that the encounter happened on Monday at her home off of Bassett Street. Now, according to the police report, Varlamov allegedly kicked her, stomped her, dragged her around the house, and threatened her. Now, the woman had bruises consistent with a physical encounter. And according to Jack Abrams, who is an attorney in this whole situation, this marks the fourth or fifth time that they have had run-ins with one another. They have been together for about 4 years after meeting in Russia. She works as a model now in the U.S. Now, Varlamov has led the Avalanche to a 10-1 start and is 7-1 in the games he has started. He has played in the NHL for 5 seasons and was acquired through trade with the Washington Capitals. So, all right, I also want to note that Chris Paul scored 42. Yes, the man was shot 42 points, and the Los Angeles Clippers outlasted the Golden State Warriors 126-115 in their home opener. The Clips scored 68 points in the first half and held on to lead throughout the remainder of the game. Paul went blow for blow with Warrior Stephen Curry in the fourth quarter and scored 15 points of his own in an entertaining duel between two of the NBA's best point guards. Paul also had 15 assists and 6 steals, finishing with a double-double and putting on a show. Yes, a show in the Staples Center. It was also the first regular season game in which the Clippers covered up those L.A. Lakers banners. Of course, Doc Rivers over there trying to change the culture and the mindset when it comes to Clipper basketball. They won't even show the banners, the championship banners that the Lakers have in the Staples Center, which I think is a genius idea. But anyway, Stephen Curry had a huge fourth quarter. He scored 17 points and drained 4 threes. Ended the night with 38 points and 9 assists. Curry is something else. All right, well, those are your current sports headlines on this November 1st, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, call it at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Or go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, did you guys catch Current Sports TV last night? Yeah, I know many of you were probably out trick-or-treating and maybe have missed it. I hope you DVR'd it, though. But if you didn't, I sat down with the organizational head coach of the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League. Yes, Matthew Brown. Matt is such an inspirational figure. Many of you out there know Matt as far as Current Sports is concerned because he was a member of, well, he was a guest here on the show this past summer. And, you know, just such an inspiration. The whole league that he runs with the Lansing Cowboys is such a great organization. And I started off by asking Matt where his inspiration to help kids began.
Well, I was actually walking from my son's football game, and I was walking across the field, and I noticed the team was called the Lansing Dolphins at the time. And they were playing a game, and I noticed some kids were really getting beat up on pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And so I said to myself, I'm going to wait till after the game, and I'm going to talk to the head coach. And that's exactly what I did. I waited and talked to the head coach, and the head coach said, I said, the game wasn't very good. He said, no, it wasn't very good. I said, do you need some help? You know? Mm-hmm. And so he said, yeah, I do. Come on Monday. And so I came on Monday. I thought I was just going to help with a couple plays, right?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't
just
know. I was signing.
Chip in here and there.
Yeah, chip in, you know, move a couple players around and do that. And so I showed up on Monday. He threw me a whistle. And then I looked at my nephew, threw him a whistle, right. And it's been that way ever since. It's been a great thing. It's actually brought me a lot of joy.
So that's how it started. I mean, no instance before then did you start getting involved with kids until that day.
I've always loved kids, mm-hmm. But never in an organized sports fashion. You know, I take kids to Zap Zone or different places, you know, play with them. But this was something different. I seen that there was a need, and I said, you know what? I'm okay with this. I need to do something. And that's what I started to do.
So, Matt, how did the transition go from the Dolphins to the Cowboys? I mean, talk about the founding of the Lansing Cowboys. How did it get started?
Well, shortly after that, I went back to a lot of people that worked in my office who had played football before. And I said, you know what? there's a team that needs some help, and let's do something more than what we see.
Right.
Because it's expensive to play the game of football, especially at that level. And if you have two or three kids, it's very expensive. So I got these group of great guys. We sat down and we said, let's do it. Let's coach football and let's work on a way to make it free.
Completely free?
From head to toe.
How did you guys go about that? Because, I mean, it's so, like you said, it's so expensive. When you talk about any football league, I mean, you talk about the pay-to-play that certain schools have adopted.
Yeah.
And you guys are so unique because you're offering this to kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. They have to pay nothing to play.
Yeah. You know, I would like to say it, you know, it all happened because of me, but it happened because a lot of people. A lot of people chipped in. A lot of people donated checks. And of course, you know, I donated a few checks but it was about the kids. So it makes it easy. Even though it was a mountain, it made it easy.
Gotcha, gotcha. And I got to ask, why'd you choose the Cowboys?
You know the answer to that.
Because, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm a Cowboys fan. I've been a Cowboys fan since I was little. Yeah, Boomy. All right, Boomy. And the Lions are coming off, a win over the Cowboys, a thrilling win over the Cowboys. But I can't. Yeah. I'm from Detroit, so, you know.
Yes.
But why the Cowboys for you?
You know, I grew up always loving the Cowboys.
Did you?
You know, it goes back to Staubach, Danny White. You know, the list goes, Gary Hogaboom. It goes on and on. So I love the Cowboys because I like the leadership that they had there.
Yeah.
You know, Hank Stram, he was a great leader. And Tom Landry was a gentleman.
I mean,
one of the only coaches. He was the last coach to wear a suit and coach a game.
Right. That's very true.
Yeah.
Very, very true.
So I like the Cowboys, what they stood for, and they worked hard. And so, you know, I just brought that same philosophy, mindset to the Lansing Cowboys. And you know, what makes the Lansing Cowboys unique? I always say, a star has five facets. That's what makes it beautiful. And so we have great coaches. We have great parents. We have great kids. All those features combined together make it a beautiful organization.
Gotta love. Give it up for that, guys. That's a great message. Such a great message, man. Now, something is so inspirational because we actually met when you actually came on the radio show.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. You came on the radio show and you talked about your organization, yeah, the Lansing Cowboys, and what you try to do with these kids. I mean, taking them off the street, those who may be going down a path that's not good, and taking them off the street and, you know, putting a jersey on their back and letting them play the game of football. I mean, talk about, you know, what kids, changing kids' lives mean to you, and some success stories that you've had with this program.
I got a good one. I'm going to start at the top. He was a varsity player last year. His name was, they nicknamed him Prime Times. His last name was Adams.
Prime Time. Like Deion Sanders.
He had great talent.
Right.
Prime Time had great talent. He failed in the area of discipline. As a matter of fact, his coach, his head coach, I kicked him off the team three or four times. His head coach said, Coach, you got to believe me on this one. He's a good kid. I said, okay, Coach, your call. Mm-hmm. So we let him back on the team. He's a good kid. So we started our season. He comes up to the field. And he said to me, Coach, I need to talk to you. Actually, Coach brought him over to me. Said, I want him to tell you what he just told me. And I said, what you got to say, son? You know me, I'm thinking, this kid hadn't changed. It didn't really impact
him. Right, he's hard-headed. He's not changing yet.
Yeah. He said something that amazed me. He said, Coach, football, this program changed my life. He said, I'm getting good grades, I'm disciplined, and I'm doing well. And I said, you're a Cowboy. That's what it's all about.
Wow.
That's what it's all about. Those little things. And you know, you're not going to save all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the few. It's the one, the two, that you get off to a better start that can now start to believe and dream again. That's what it's all about.
Wow. Now, what is that kid up to now? How long ago was that?
That was just probably 2 months ago.
He came on
our field, right?
I mean, how did that make you feel when a kid comes up to you and says that to you and talks about how you ideally changed your life?
It makes me feel great about our coaches, see, because I'm just one person. I'm just only one, and when really there should be seven, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes me feel great about our coaches that we have the humility to say to one another, no, that's a little bit too rough. We govern as a village. And right. We say, you know what? There's something I see. And then I look and I say, I don't see it, but it's okay. I'm with you. But it makes you feel great because, you know, that's what everybody needs is somebody to believe in them. And these kids sometimes in the inner city who go through struggles, they need someone to say, you can do it. Just one more chant. You can do it. And right. that's a great thing.
That is such an inspirational message, Matthew. Now, I got to ask you, what you're doing is such an unbelievable organization, bringing in kids. I mean, like I said, are down that road to mm-hmm. nowhere, ideally, right. and bringing them in and teaching them values, the core values of life to change their life around. I got to ask you, is the surrounding community, in your opinion, are they doing enough to help kids?
I tend not to be negative. I will say they can do better. But sometimes you don't know that there's a need until it's publicized. And that's why I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come and talk about it, because there is a need. A lot of kids, this is their only escape, just for an hour or two. They carry the stresses and burdens of their parents who may have lost jobs, who have their own stresses. This is their little bit of peace. And if we can provide that little bit of peace for them, to get exercise and do something, then we're doing a good thing.
And you know, a very cool story that you shared with me, Matthew, had to do with a certain kid who didn't live around the area. Parents were going through financial situations. It would actually catch the bus each and every practice, each and every game. I mean, tell me about that.
That was the story of Griffin. I love that story. Yeah, because Griffin really embodied what a Cowboy is all about.
Right.
So
right.
Griffin was a kid who came to our practice tryout because it was a free program. Didn't know a lot of things about the background at the time. So he came up. He became one of the ones that kind of stuck to my hip. Right.
Right.
So one day after practice, I usually give an assignment. Let me back up. I usually give an assignment. I allow them to earn a little allowance. So if they pick up the field, they earn a little allowance.
Right.
Well, Griffin, usually payday is Friday, so give them their allowance that they've earned for the week for working, okay? So Griffin's came Friday, and after his came Friday, he didn't have the money, and then Griffin was like, Coach, you forgot my $5. I didn't know why I needed it. I got it for him, found out he was taking the bus from actual turn station where he was picking it up. He was taking two routes just to get to practice every day. And he was using the money he worked for to get there.
Unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. And something that you shared with me this year, I mean, the story, of course, got out. And a parent actually now for this season took him to practice every day, right?
That's a great thing about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Lansing Cowboys is we have some of the best parents and the best supporting cast. They noticed that need, and they right away picked him up. Now, he did have some family situations where he was then had to be relocated, but every day somebody went to pick him up.
That's great, guys. I mean, come on. It brings the community together. That's a great, great message. Now, Matt, something that's been an ongoing conversation here on Current Sports these past few weeks is the issue of concussions.
Yes.
Specifically when it comes to the youth level, like your, you know, the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League. Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing to make the game safer for, you know, your league, ages 7 to 15, right?
Right.
Well, how are you guys making the game safer for them?
Well, you know, there's some standards that come out with a heads-up program, right? Mm-hmm. And we have started to put those programs implemented those same solutions into our youth football program. It's the mind, you know, we hear it, the mind's a terrible thing to waste, but also is a terrible thing to damage. So you have to protect it. You can protect the skull by the helmet, but really the technique really protects the brain. Mm-hmm. And so you have to identify it, and you have to, hey, when in doubt, keep the kid out. That's really the philosophy you need to adopt.
There you have it. That was my sit down with Matthew Brown. Yes, the organizational head coach of the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League. If you missed Current Sports TV and you want to check out that that video, you can go to video.wkar.org, and you can go on there, click Current Sports, and you can see every Current Sports TV episode we've done. So if you want to check out that episode, or if you want to check out Mo Pete, Greg Kelser, Joanne Gerstner, I could go on and on and on. And folks, next week, our next week's guest on Wednesday, if you want to be a part of the live audience, we tape each and every Wednesday at 6 p.m. If you want to be a part of that live audience, go to WKR.org. I will be sitting down with Bob Every. Yes, he is the executive director at the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Yes, Bob is also a legendary boxer from around the area, and also a former boxing trainer. He used to coach the Michigan State, well, I should say Lansing Community College softball team, and now coaches Michigan State's club softball team. So we'll dive and talk about all of that, talk about everything from his boxing career to his career now with the MSU club softball team. He actually won a national championship with Lansing Community College. We'll talk about that. He's another great inspirational figure around the Lansing area, and look forward to having him on the show next week. Again, that's next week, Wednesday. If you want to catch the, any episode that we've done on Current Sports TV, go to video.wkar.org and sign up to be a part of the audience each and every week at wkar.org. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and of course, it's the eve of Michigan and Michigan State. Yes, the two will clash heads tomorrow at Spartan Stadium, 3:30 p.m. kickoff. I certainly can't wait to cover that game. Folks, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show on what do you think is going to happen in that game. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back.
Science can be big like the Big Bang, or it can be small like a tiny virus, but it's always interesting. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me each week on Science Friday as we sort through the latest news in science and technology and cut science down to a size you can understand. Stuff you'll want to talk about all weekend. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday, coming up at 2 p.m.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Welcome back to the show. Well, let's dive into it. Michigan and Michigan State. Yes, it's the eve of the big rivalry game. Many of you will be heading out to Spartan Stadium to enjoy that game. Many of you tailgating. Just the atmosphere when Michigan comes to town or vice versa is just something unexplainable when these two guys, when these two rivalries meet. Again, tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., at Spartan Stadium. Let's dive into this game right now and kind of analyze it and give you our predictions for tomorrow's game. Again, if you want to give your prediction, go to facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at Al Martin WKAR and give us a call here at the station, 517-355-9527, and let us know what you will think and what you will be looking at during tomorrow's game. Well, Matt and Alex, well, what do you guys, we'll all three of us will be at this game tomorrow. I can't wait for it. What do you guys think is going to happen, and what will you be looking at specifically in this game?
A lot of people like to think, okay, this Michigan State defense is for real. The fact that they're number one, they've been dominant so far, it's a no-brainer. They're going to stop the offense. And I do agree with that. But what I don't agree with is that the Michigan defense will not be able to stop the Michigan State offense. I think the Michigan defense is a little bit underlooked. And yes, they did give up 45 points to Indiana. They did give up 30 points and lot of different games, they allowed up tons of points. But Michigan State hasn't faced a defense yet with the diverse amount of packages that Greg Madison will throw. And I think that the way that the Michigan State offense is working, with the fact that the pass game isn't as efficient, and that this Greg Madison defense will be prepared. So I think that on the defensive side of the ball for the Spartans, they will succeed. On the offensive side of the ball, they won't. And that's why I think Michigan's going to win the game.
So you think this is going to be...
I think
Michigan's going to win?
Yeah, I think Michigan's going to win. I think the Michigan State offense will be shut down. Yes.
You think even that offense will be points. Shut down do. by Greg Madison's defense?
Yeah, I think Illinois was a pseudo victory.
Man, I got to disagree with him. I'm going with Michigan State in this one. Reason being this. Now, if you look at these, I mean, we talked about it earlier this week when you talk about Michigan, Michigan State. Both of these teams are so inconsistent. 1 week, you know, you have Michigan State's offense sizzling hot. Look at last game against Illinois. Sizzling hot. Connor Cook looked so great. Looked comfortable in the pocket. And then, you know, you have the Purdue games where it's like, what's going on here? So this Michigan State's offense is very inconsistent. The defense is always consistent. And, you know, when you talk about Michigan State's defense, which is statistically the best in the nation, going against an offense and a dynamic quarterback in Devin Gardner, a guy who loves to scramble, who sees the field, you know, pretty good, but he's so turnover prone. He's coughed up the ball, I think, in just about every game he's played in, almost every game he's played in this season. And that's kind of the deal breaker for me. I think this MSU defense is going to give Devin Gardner so much trouble. And we all know when Devin Gardner does get into that trouble and, you know, he starts to, turn over when that first turnover comes, you know, his go-to guy, we all know it's Devin Funchess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Devin is a guy that when all is going wrong, and I love Devin. He's so athletic, and look for him. Look for Devin Gardner. Once that pressure is applied to him, look for him to try to look for Devin throughout that game.
And let me just say this. If Narduzzi's defense puts on a show, expect Greg Madison to call Baltimore Ravens, call his connections over there, and get Narduzzi a head coaching job at the NFL.
In the NFL?
Head coaching job in the NFL.
I'll be a defensive coordinator in the NFL. But this is the game that Narduzzi's going to prove to Madison he deserves a chance in the NFL. He's that good.
He deserves a chance. I would like to see him.
I would argue that he earned it last year.
Yeah.
Even though MSU lost, Michigan didn't score a touchdown.
No. Yeah. Pat
this is a bigger game outside of just the the bragging rights and the rivalry. This is a Narduzzi audition.
So you think that in the end, Alex?
It is.
In the end, think that Michigan State's lack of offensive productivity throughout this game that you're predicting on Saturday is going to be, you know, the key factor. You don't
Absolutely.
Think MSU is going to move the ball offensively?
No. Nope.
Matt?
Wow. That's
it's a bold statement.
That is bold. You know, the biggest thing that I've noticed this week is how quiet everyone has been. Whether it's the fan base, pretty much everyone outside of Fitz Toussaint has kept their mouth shut.
Yeah.
And that's because I feel like both teams, schools, fan bases are incredibly nervous. Because this is a huge game in the overall state of the rivalry. Because if MSU wins, then it's 5 out of 6.
Right.
If Michigan wins, then it's, you know, order restored. It's
to
normal.
This is a Big Ten championship implication game.
Absolutely.
This is a Legends Division type
of
game.
If Michigan loses, they're pretty much out.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of the running for the Legends Division title, which is all that Brady Hoke talked about before the season started.
Right.
Said if we don't win the Big Ten, it's a failure on the season. And if they don't win Saturday, pretty much looks like a failure on the season. And what I'm looking for as far as the game is concerned, who starts quicker? Because Michigan State, even in their big wins, even last week against Illinois, they started slow.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they start slow against Michigan, it's not going to be a long drive and a field goal. It's going to be a long drive and a touchdown. And the mm-hmm. place that Michigan State doesn't want to be is playing from behind. You don't want to have all of the pressure on Connor Cook. Not saying that they're going to go, you know, 5 wide, throw the ball down the field right off the bat if they get down 7-0. But I think they're going to play a much better game if it's close and if they can keep that running game established. I think the offensive line, Michigan State's offensive line, we've heard all season that it's been the best under the D'Antonio era,
mm-hmm.
or the best of the D'Antonio era. They got to prove that on Saturday. If they can move the ball in chunks with Jeremy Langford or Delton Williams, I think that bodes really well because you keep Michigan's offense off the field. You keep Michigan State's defense off the field. When they come back, they're fresh. I think that's going to probably be a stalemate as far as the Michigan offense versus the Michigan State defense. Mm-hmm. Michigan will hit a couple. I think Jeremy Gallen's going to be the guy more than Funchess.
Yeah, Gallen. I think, like I said, which I do think is going to happen, I think Michigan State's defense is going to frustrate Devin Gardner so much. And I think they're keen. Everybody knows Gallen is the guy offensively. I mean, he had Madden numbers the other week. You know what I mean? He's the guy. Michigan State's going to key in on him so much that Devin, I think, is going to be able to pick and choose his spots and possibly cause some damage on that end. That's what I think is going to happen.
I mean, that's definitely true because I think they're probably going to
bracket all day.
Gallen and let Funchess go one-on-one with either Waynes or Denard.
Right, exactly.
But I don't know if I like that matchup as much as other people do for Funchess because Trey Waynes can play, and Denard is the best cornerback in the Big Ten. And you know, doing it against Indiana and these other schools is one thing, but doing it against physical corners who play you straight up. I mean, Devin Funchess, the reason they split him out wide is because he can't block.
Yeah, he can't.
He's not as physical as a normal tight end would be. He is that hybrid tight end wide receiver. So if they get in his face, if they knock him off of his route, if they upset the timing a little bit, that's when you start to see mistakes for Michigan's offense. And you know, if Michigan State can capitalize on those, then it can become a big-time game for the defense.
But, so what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be a tight game because, like Alex said, I don't know how successful Michigan State's offense is going to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Connor Cook is going to be able to win this game. I think he's going to be able to manage it. I think Michigan State wins by less than a touchdown.
Less than a touchdown. Yep. Gotcha. I'm going MSU as well.
Guys, after the Fitzgerald Toussaint comment about the little brother, which linebacker on Michigan State do you think will be going on in the most?
Denikos.
Denikos has that chip on his shoulder. If you say something, I'm going right at you.
Which one would I fear the most? Denikos.
Why don't you describe?
Max is a little scary,
why don't we describe to the listeners a little bit about the comment Fitzgerald Toussaint made?
We talked about it the other day. Fitz Toussaint, I'll give me a second to bring up the exact quote. I don't want to misquote him, but he basically brought up he brought up the little brother comments again. Basically said that, you know, little brother has a kind of a chip on his shoulder and always wants to get, you know, kind of try to outdo and you know, get the big brother. I want to bring up the exact quote because I don't want to misquote the guy. But I think making those comments is something that the Michigan State defense, they probably love that stuff. But even though they're going to the media and they may not be saying much because, to be honest with you, we haven't had much media availability with the players at all this entire week. It's Michigan week. This always happens every week. But, you know, coming with the reports coming out, Michigan State, even D'Antonio, they're not getting flustered by the comments, you know. They're not taking the bait. Now, I'll tell you what, I guarantee, though, in that locker room, I'm sure it was brought up, and those players are saying to themselves, you're about to knock this kid's head off on Saturday. You know what I mean? I'm sure, without a doubt, but the discussions that those guys have in the locker room as teammates, they've read those comments, and that's an added incentive for them to go out and crack some heads, specifically Fitz Toussaint's head, on Saturday. Definitely, without a doubt. That's one of those things where, you know, you kind of rally behind it, and it gets you going. It gets the blood pumping, you know what I mean? As if the blood isn't already pumping that you're playing your rival. But added comments like those just kind of adds another dimension to the drama of Michigan and Michigan State. So it's going to be interesting, I tell you that. But, yeah, as far as picking which linebacker I'd probably be scared of, probably I have to go with – it's between Denikos. Max can be a little – it can be intimidating as well, but Denikos is just – he's like a ball of fire, man. I tell you, he's something else. So, but yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. I think Michigan State comes out with the W. I don't know if we've done score. Have we done a score prediction?
We did do a score prediction, right? On Monday. We can revise them, though.
Alex didn't.
It's not Saturday yet.
Yeah, it's not Saturday yet. Alex didn't. He chose Michigan State originally, didn't he?
No, he never picked.
He never picked. Okay, this is
Alex.
First time.
What is your prediction? Let's just
go for this game. I'm going to say it's going to be 17-10 Michigan.
Wow.
17-10 Michigan?
17-10.
That's some bold stuff right there, brother. All right. And if you look at this game, you talk about, you know, the role that both of these teams, you know, have after this game. Wolverines by far have it worse. They have a bigger set of hurdles if you look at Michigan State, you know, in comparison to their schedules after this game. Nebraska at home for the Wolverines, then at Northwestern, at Iowa, and then number 4, Ohio State at the Big House on November 30th. as if you look at Michigan State after a bye week next week. Michigan State plays at Nebraska, at Northwestern, before closing out the regular season at home against Minnesota. So right now, in my opinion, you know, it's Michigan State's title to lose at this point, if you ask me, guys. Once they get past Michigan, it's their title to lose. If they get past Michigan, I should say, which I think they will. But, yeah, I look for this MSU defense to play big. I think Jeremy Langford has a good day. I don't know with Cook. Cook is a question mark. I have no idea anymore when it comes to any quarterback for Michigan State when they're out there. We'll just have to wait and see. But and I'm very interested to see how many I know this defense is going to have turnovers on Devin Gardner. Just a matter of how many, I think. He's just a turnover king right now. Every single game, just about every single game this season Devin Gardner's played in, he's had an interception or a fumble.
So. And most of the ones that are you know, worse efforts are on the road.
Oh yeah.
You know, he usually keeps it pretty together at home.
Right.
But the road is where they struggle, and you know, they've struggled under Brady Hoke his entire time there. They're 6-8 on the road. So
right.
It's not like they're world beaters like they are at home. Oh, it's tough. It's going to be tough. Everyone's so nervous. I am incredibly nervous. It's going to be a tight game.
I can't wait for it.
Absolutely down to the wire, I feel like.
Yeah, I can't wait to just sit back, relax, and watch that one and cover it. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. It's fun for the fans. It's fun for the city of East Lansing. It's going to be crazy here. So, again, Michigan State tomorrow, 3:30 p.m., the rivalry matchup. Again, we still got about 20 or so minutes left in the show. Give us a call here at the station, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And give your thoughts and opinion on who is going to come out with the W after tomorrow's matchup is said and done. All right, guys, really quickly, interesting discussion. I actually got into an argument with a fellow colleague of mine on this situation or debate, if you will. And our current sports question of the day that we pose on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports is, who would you take, Calvin Johnson or Jerry Rice? Jerry Rice, of course, notoriously known as the greatest wide receiver to ever grace the gridiron. Some consider Jerry to be the greatest football player of all time. That's debatable, but many do. And you look at Megatron and what he's doing right now. Who would you take? And that's what we're going to talk about right now, because it's something that I actually talked to Rico Beard about this past week, and thought it would be an interesting conversation to bring to current sports and to pose to you guys. Jerry Rice, just looking at the numbers, of course, 1,549 receptions. That's unbelievable. 22,000 yards, almost 23,000, 22,895 yards, average about 14 yards after the catch. 197 TDs. I mean, Jerry's resume speaks for itself. And Megatron's resume, of course, is definitely impressive. Guys, who would you take? Jerry Rice or Calvin
Johnson?
It's easy.
It's easy. It's Jerry. It's Jerry all day. He's an ambassador. He's not just a player. He's a golfer. He's a media member. He's everything. It's Jerry Rice.
He's a dancer.
He's a dancer.
Don't forget that.
When Calvin Johnson puts on his dancing shoes, then I'd say Calvin might be the best. But for now, Jerry was
strictly
the fastest.
On the field. On the field.
Of course.
You're in a pickup football game. You got Calvin Johnson and Jerry Rice.
It's Jerry.
Right.
I mean, the fact that he was the fastest player to ever reach 12,000 yards, 13,000 yards, he's just the fastest. And yes, Calvin Johnson may have more of the physical tools compared to than he did, but the records don't lie. The statistics don't lie. It's Jerry all day. He had one of the better quarterbacks, too.
Do you think that when Calvin Johnson's career is said and done, will he be better than Jerry Rice?
No. No way.
No way.
No way.
Why no way?
Because the fact that Jerry Rice was the fastest to reach all these receiving yards and whatnot, he went to Super Bowls, and Calvin has yet to go to one, and we don't know. Maybe he will go to one. But for now, it's unfair to make the argument until he wins a Super Bowl.
Okay, so you're going with Calvin, Matt?
I'm going with Jerry.
Jerry, excuse me.
Woo.
I don't know, because you can't argue with three Super Bowls. You can't argue with the most prolific wide receiver ever.
Right, it's not like basketball. You got to have a team with football. You know what I mean? Jerry was fortunate to.
You had a team with basketball.
With basketball, it's more so LeBron James can take over the game. It's more individualized. You know what I mean? In football, you're not on the field for defense and offense.
See,
like
I'd argue that because the big three model, three players can win you a championship.
Alex,
but no,
it is much harder to win a championship in the game of football than it is in basketball. In the game of basketball, you're playing both sides of the ball. You're playing defense and offense. You can influence the game in so many ways, hands-on ways. In football, Calvin Johnson is only on the field on offensively. He can't do any. He has no power whatsoever when it comes to that defense. That defense can give up yards left and right when he's out there playing his butt off and influence things. So that's the aspect of, you know, when you talk about winning champ, if you talk about rings, you got to take that in consideration as well.
Well, he also played for arguably the best coach.
And look at the quarterback
NFL
he had.
History.
Look
and
at the quarterbacks,
look at the quarterbacks he had. Yeah,
Montana,
he had Steve Young and Joe Montana.
Yeah,
who are two Hall of Famers. And, you know,
right.
No disrespect to Matt Stafford, not quite at that level yet.
He ain't no Joe Montana.
Exactly. it is tough to argue with just the raw numbers. But in terms of who is the most physically dominant receiver of all time, I think you would probably have to go with Calvin.
Yeah, physically,
he is Randy Moss, but 50 pounds heavier.
He's so big. He's so strong. He can out-jump anybody on the field. It's like having a cheat code on your team. He's a creative player on your team.
Now, if I take Calvin, is it just his career up to this point, or am I getting the, let's say, 20 years that Jerry Rice played? Because, I mean, it's apples and oranges.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Jerry Rice in his prime, if you're in a pickup football game and you need somebody and Calvin and Jerry are left, who are you taking?
Okay, first of all, why are they the last two picks of the
that's
draft?
That's a good question. I was thinking that. But yeah, I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
tough. Okay, your first pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Lions fan in me is saying Calvin, but Jerry Rice is the best player of all time.
So you think he's your GOAT?
I mean, he's definitely up there.
He's my GOAT.
I mean,
Jerry Rice, I got to say, for me, I have to go with Jerry Rice right now, today. If Calvin Johnson's career was to end right now, I would have to go with Jerry Rice. Just because Jerry, his worth ethic was just unbelievable. I mean, there's stories of Jerry Rice. I don't know if you guys know, but Jerry Rice and Michael Jordan used to train with each other during the offseason. And they would run in the sand, like run up and down sand dunes and all these crazy workout regimens.
Like Rocky workouts?
Yeah, these are like Rocky workouts that Jordan and Jerry used to go through all the time. But he's notoriously known for just outworking people. He had hands of gold. He had speed to go along with it. Jerry Rice was just, I mean, you could throw anything to him and he was going to get something on it. You know what I mean? And the thing with Calvin, though, I mean, Calvin is a freak of nature. That's the thing about Calvin. Calvin is, you know, and you got to look at the quarterback, too. He's only had Matthew Stafford, you know, just throwing to him. Just imagine if he had a great quarterback.
Well, and before that, I mean, he had John Kitna and Dan Orlovsky throwing him the ball.
Right, exactly.
I mean, Jerry Rice might have had that towards the tail end of his career when he was in, like, Oakland. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean,
throughout the majority of his career, you got Montana and
he had two
and,
of the greatest quarterbacks
of all time.
Of the modern era, yeah.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, you definitely got to take all that into consideration. But, yeah, for me, I would have to go with Jerry Rice, though, just because he's just – I do think though when Calvin Johnson's career is done, and if he keeps this dominance up that he's had these past few seasons, man, I think Calvin's the man.
It's definitely not out of the realm of possibility for him to catch Jerry Rice in some of these.
No,
not
I mean he broke Jerry's
single
season receiving record. You know what I mean? So
and he was 7 yards away from the single game record. So
exactly.
It's like,
he's getting awfully close, man. Yeah. Oh, unbelievable stuff there. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we still have NFL pick'ems to bring to you. And also, it's Friday, so you know we have a special Reflection Friday in store for you guys. All right. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back. Just got home from Illinois. Locked the front door open.
On the next Fresh Air, we listen back to our interview with Hollywood stuntman Hal Needham. He died last week at the age of 82 after a career of death-defying stunts. He doubled for John Wayne and Burt Reynolds and directed Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, it's Friday. We are on the eve of the gridiron action. A lot of gridiron action is taking place this weekend. Of course, Michigan and Michigan State, they play tomorrow, 3:30. And yes, NFL, a lot of NFL action as well. Let's do our pick'ems, guys. Alex, man, you missed out last week. I don't know how we're going to.
And here's what we're going to do. Matt and I talked about it before we got on the air. Since I am losing out, I have declared myself the ultimate freestyle rap battle stunner.
Okay. So you're automatically going to do the
I'm
rap
going
battle.
To automatically do the rap battle against the two of you.
Okay, so you're automatically one of yourself.
You. Exactly.
All right. So Sharks are going to rock the ones and twos.
Exactly.
And
the loser between the two of you will engage in a duel in rap.
Now technically the month is over. October.
Technically it is. Wow, it is.
October's done. It is November 1st.
It is. Wow.
And by my count, Al, you are in line to participate in this freestyle
right now,
rap battle.
Yes, but you know what?
Are you going to tweak the rules as host of the show?
As host of the show, I'm tweaking the rules because you know what? Last month, I let Alex, because the month was over, I believe, right? And I was so nice. I was so nice, Alex.
Too nice.
You know what I said?
Save me.
Yep, and I said, you know what? Okay, we'll do this one. What game? I forgot what game it was. I can't even remember. But I gave you an extra day. I think it was baseball. And I called the wrong game.
Yeah, I think it was the Cardinals series, wasn't it?
Yep, I think it was the Cardinals series. And I called the wrong game. I lose it, you win it, and we're doing a duet, a lovely duet, which I hope all of you out there
Hey,
enjoy.
They want an encore. They want duet number two.
Man, this is going to be some Eminem 8 Mile type stuff. So let's extend it, Matt. This will be it. Just NFL pick'ems for this Sunday.
Okay.
It's on, like Donkey
Kong. Okay. All right, now before we hit the NFL, quickly, Alex, your Miami at Florida State pick.
Okay. Let's do Florida State. Come on, Sims.
Okay. Yeah, you join all of us. Okay. You don't need the score. Al, we both took Cincinnati last night.
We did.
Thanks a lot, Andy Dalton.
I know, right? Andy Dalton, thank you. Thank you. Man, he was
okay.
32 of 53 last night.
It's a lot of throws. A lot of throws. Okay. First things first, let's go with the Chiefs at the Bills.
Man, you know what? The Chiefs have been rolling, of course. They're undefeated. I think they stand defeated, guys. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs, too. The Bills looked pretty good earlier on. They had a couple nice wins. A couple upset wins, I'd even argue. But, yeah. Chiefs have been.
Yeah, I got to go with the Chiefs, too. I don't even know who is going to play at quarterback for the Bills.
Right. Shoot.
I don't know what C.J. Spiller's doing other than killing my fantasy team. So thank you for that, C.J.
Right.
But, yeah, I got to take the Chiefs there. They're just the known quantity. You know their defense is great. Vikings at the Cowboys.
Man, the Cowboys are going to bounce back, and they get the win at home against the Vikings.
Yep.
Yeah,
agreed.
There's no question. How many touchdowns does Dez Bryant score? 7?
I know, right? He's unbelievable. I think he has 8. He has 8 TDs.
He's going to be angry this week.
Oh, man.
Titans at the Rams.
Titans and Rams, give me give me the Rams.
St. Louis.
Okay. At home. I'm going to go with the Titans. I think they'll pull it out.
You're going with the Titans. Yep. Okay.
I'm going to take
They're a good team.
I'm going to take the Titans as well. Rams looked good against Seattle. I don't know if they can do it.
They surprised me.
Don't know if they can do it 2 weeks in a row. All right. Saints at Jets.
I'm going with the Saints.
I think the Jets are going to win this one at home. I think they're going to do it. I think New York's
Alex,
angry.
If I could go back and look, you take the Jets so much more than anyone else.
I think one of these weeks they're actually going to
There's a pattern.
They're going to do it.
So you keep holding on to that faith.
Hey,
huh?
sooner or later it'll pay off. I'm going to take the Saints as well. Hopefully Jimmy Graham is 100%.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, Chargers at the Redskins.
Alex?
Neither team plays defense here.
No, neither team.
Skins are at home. Let's go with the home Skins.
I'm going to go Redskins as well. I think they get their third win of the season here.
Yep, I got to take them too, just because they're at home.
I feel like Chargers coming off the bye.
It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
Neither team can play defense, like I said. All right, Falcons at the Panthers.
Man, give me Cam Newton. Going with the Panthers.
Yeah, I'll take the Panthers too.
Same here. Atlanta, man.
Yeah.
What happened?
Who would have seen that coming?
Who would have seen that
Injuries.
Coming, man? Gosh, they can't win.
I don't know if they
man.
Would have been that good even without him, but certainly losing all of your skill players doesn't help.
Yeah.
Poor Matt Ryan. All right. Eagles at the Raiders.
I'm going to take the Raiders. Raiders are at home, I believe, right?
They are.
I'll take the Eagles. Let's go.
Nick Foles. Nick Foles, man. Foles is just...
I'm going to take Oakland because I don't trust Nick Foles.
I don't trust Nick. I
trust Matt Barkley even less.
Yeah, and, you know, I picked up Nick Foles because I had to. 1 week.
Me too.
Didn't have a quarterback, and that did not end
Played
well.
Against the Cowboys. Got hurt in the third quarter.
Yeah,
had about 2 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Nick Foles.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you.
Gosh. All right.
He's gonna bounce back. He's gonna bounce back. Watch. He knows there are haters out there.
Well, if there's a game to bounce back, it's probably
yeah,
when
against Oakland.
That's
when you're playing.
Against
Oakland.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Buccaneers at Seahawks.
Give me the Seattle. Buccaneers are only, they're just bad. They have not won a game yet this season.
They are really
all
bad.
Around.
Yeah. I don't even know why I asked that one. All right. Ravens at Browns.
Go with the Ravens.
This is a tight one.
I'm stuck on this one.
The way the Ravens have been playing, who knows?
Oh, man. Flacco,
I think they'll
Whedon,
be okay.
Flacco, Whedon. Give me the Browns. Give me the Browns.
I'm going to take the Browns, too.
I'm taking the Browns, yeah.
I like Josh Gordon. He's a really good player.
We'll see how Whedon plays this weekend, man. Oh.
Yeah, the less Whedon has to do, the better it,
the be-
it
yeah,
bears
the
for the
better.
Browns. All right, Steelers at Patriots.
Another good game.
You think that's going to be a good game?
I think it's going to be a good game.
The Steelers and
the
Patriots?
I think it is. I know the Steelers are horrible this year. But I don't know. I mean, just historically, those teams have always had a little bit of...
And the Pats are hanging on by a thread.
Rivalry.
They're hanging on
by a
thread.
They're 4-0 at home, man. Pats, 5-0 at home.
I think it's going to be a closer game than you'd think. But I'll take the Pats.
Yep.
I still think it's going to be a close game, though.
I have to agree with Alex.
I don't think it will.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means.
We'll see.
All right. Sunday Night Football... Man, this one looked a lot better before the season actually started. Colts at Texans.
That is very true. Yeah, I think Texans are 2-5, 1-2 at home. I'm going with the Colts.
Yep.
Me too. The Colts. It's kind of an easy one.
Andrew Luck. All right.
I'm excited about this Monday Night Football game, though.
Chicago.
Yeah.
At Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going with, I want to, my heart says Packers, but my gut is saying Bears. Give me the Packers.
Okay.
Go with the Packers.
At home?
Yeah, Packers at home.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers.
Packers haven't lost at home yet.
You'll take Packers?
Me too. Lambeau leap. I think they're going to Lambeau leap to victory. So there you go. And then actually, one more. Since it's basketball season.
Yeah. Got to love basketball.
Pistons tonight.
Yeah.
Oh. At the Grizzlies.
Yep.
Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol versus the new look front line.
Greg Monroe looked great the first game.
Yeah, all three of them. I mean, Greg Monroe, Smith,
Monroe versus Mark. Who do you got? I think that's the game changer right there.
I'm going with the Pistons tonight. I think they start a season 2-0.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Pistons, too.
Okay. I'm going to be the Debbie Downer. I'm going to take the Memphis Grizzlies. I think Randolph and Zebo and Marc Gasol inside are too much.
I think the Grizz, I think they lost their first game. Yeah, against the Spurs. It was against the Spurs 1-0-something to 90-something.
Yeah. But no shame in losing to the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs are a great team.
Yeah.
All right, there we have it. Pick'ems. Well, we'll see who will be freestyling with Alex. Alex, you've already declared yourself a loser. So we will wait and see what happens. All right, guys, it's Friday. Reflection Friday,
just
guys.
Like the blooper reel is on its way, Al. Don't worry.
With the rap?
Oh, no, you.
With me?
You're the star, man.
Stop it. All right, guys.
Al's blooper reel.
Favorite moment of the week? Alex, what was your favorite moment of the week, man?
Oh, man. Well... tough choice this week. I would probably have to say I watched the TV segment last night, the interview.
You made your TV debut yesterday.
I did. It was a nice little debut. So that was my magic moment.
You were glued to the TV
Kodak
waiting
moment.
For 10 o'clock.
That was my Kodak moment.
There you go.
The interview with the coach was great. I don't know. What about you? What about you, Matt?
You know, I kind of have to agree. Matthew Brown, just listening to it today in the studio, I mean – the guy has a very nice delivery. He seems like a great guy. He's definitely got the organization moving in the right direction.
Right.
He knows what he's doing, and he just seems like a genuine guy who cares about, you know, the welfare of these kids. And on the other side of it, before the show, we were looking up Jerry Rice. He has a video game for Wii that is Jerry Rice and his dog playing dog football.
What?
That's exactly what we said. 2011.
Bargain
bins, I'm sure. Who knows what it's
good,
actually
good
about.
Ratings? Good ratings on
good
our,
ratings.
Wow. IGN?
Couple
I'm
of good
I'm
going
to have to
reviews.
Look that up. Well, for me, guys, though, Matthew Brown, inspirational. As you just heard in the interview, inspirational guy, really trying to change things in the community. So, wow, he was a good guy. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Warfire Station Manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. Thanks to Matthew Brown. You listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic weekend, and be easy, people.